Open your Bibles with me this morning, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. I told you last week that you could go ahead and place a marker there. We're going to be there for the next 5 or 6 weeks, good Lord willing, taking a look at the Spirit-filled life, what it looks like when men, women, boys, and girls are filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter number 5, we begin reading with verse number 22. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And we're just going to stop right there for this morning. I want to preach to you this morning on the biblical role of Spirit-filled wives. The biblical role of Spirit-filled wives. How many? I want to ask you this, and I want you to stop and think about it. How many genuinely happy married couples do you know? Of all of your married friends, how many of them actually have a happy home? How many of them look forward to coming home, to seeing their spouse and children? Or on the other hand, how many married couples do you know that are living a miserable life? All of us have family or friends that are stuck in a relationship that they find neither joyful nor fulfilling. For many of them, marriage is simply a convenience. They will, quote, stay together for the kids, or simply because it would be too much trouble to get a divorce. Sadly, there is a generation today of young people who do not aspire to grow up, get married, and enjoy the blessings of a wonderful marriage. Many of them have seen the trouble, heartache, and sorrow in the home, and because of that, they don't have any desire to be married. In today's world, people choose to ignore holy writ and the divine design given by God and live together outside of wedlock, wanting to enjoy the benefits of marriage without the covenant relationship that God ordained. And in so doing, these people circumvent God's perfect pattern for the home. As we have all been witness to the decay of the home in our society, I ask, is our nation any better than it was 30, 40, or 50 years ago, financially, spiritually, morally? Or will you not agree with me that the decay of the home has brought devastation to our society? Amen. The fundamental building block of any culture is the home. Amen. You destroy the home, you destroy the society. And no community, no nation, listen, no church will ever be any stronger than the homes that compose that home, nation, or society. And regardless of what has been accepted, condoned, or even legalized in our nation, there is a scriptural model, a scriptural standard for the home. And if our nation and if our churches are to flourish, we must return to the biblical model of the home. Amen. That means men being the kind of men that they should be. And that means wives and women being the kind of women that they should be.
Amen.
Perhaps there are some of you who are sitting here this morning who's thinking well, this message doesn't really apply to me. I'm not a wife. I'm never going to be a wife. I have no intention of ever getting married. But to think this way is an error on your part. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it is all profitable for doctrine, reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Each of us need to know the mind of God on every subject.
Amen.
Young men, the kind of wife we will speak about today is the kind of wife you should be praying for right now.
Amen.
Young ladies, the kind of wife we will speak about this morning is the kind of wife you should aspire to be.
Amen.
And for the rest of us, you never know when God might bring some young lady into your life that needs godly counsel and wisdom about her home. And you need to know what the mind of God is on the subject.
Amen.
Rather than telling them what Oprah and Dr. Phil has to say, you need to know what God has to say about the home. Preacher, you don't understand the dynamics of our relationship. This really doesn't fit our home. To say such things is to undermine the wisdom of God Almighty.
Amen.
God created the home. God designed the home. God made the very first home.
Amen.
Don't you sit there and pretend to know more about what works in your home than God does.
Amen.
The God who created the home says a lot and knows a lot about how a home should function. This is all introduction. Furthermore, this text that we have read together is part of a letter out of which the whole letter would have been read aloud to the church.
Amen.
That's what the book of Ephesians is. It is a letter that was written to the church at Ephesus.
Amen.
So this part that we're going to discuss together this morning would not have been limited to some women's weekend outing, some women's Bible study. I'm not against any of those. They have a purpose. Certainly they do. But what we have here is not to be limited to a group of women getting together. It is to be taught publicly from the pulpit to all the church body.
Amen.
Everyone needs to know what God has said. And listen to me. There are some well-respected commentators and theologians that go off the deep end when we get to this subject. They want to throw the Apostle Paul under the bus. The bus being driven by women's liberation. And say he's a chauvinist. That Paul hated women. That Paul looked down on women. Let's be clear about this. This is as much inspired as is the rest of the book.
Amen.
This is not just Paul writing. This is God, the Holy Spirit, directing and controlling the word and pen of the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
So to say that this is archaic, obsolete, irrelevant to today is to dismiss God's word for you today.
Amen.
This matters to you and every one of us today. And then finally, in my introductory remarks, let me say this as clear as I know how to say it. I'm not going to apologize for what the Bible says about this.
Amen.
Neither should you.
Amen.
Do we pretend to be so presumptuous that we know better what works in the home than God Almighty does? To suggest that this is archaic, old-fashioned, and means nothing in today's world is to dismiss God's Word as old and ancient and irrelevant. Do we suppose to know better than God of what works in the home? Here's the summation of what we will say together today. It is God's will that Christian wives should submit to their husbands.
Amen.
Notice with me from our text. I don't have a very sophisticated outline today. Today's outline is simply going to be who, what, when, where, and why. First of all, who is being spoken to? Who is the writer speaking to? Verse 22, wives. Now, there is no qualifying statement behind that. He isn't saying young wives, middle-aged wives, older wives. What he is saying is if you are a Christian and you are a woman and you are a wife, He, God, is speaking to you about what He demands from you. If you are not married and you may be one day, then it matters to you what God says about this. Regardless of what your standing is outside of the home, in the home you are a wife. Amen. And God is speaking to you. In other words, you might be lieutenant commander at work, but you are a wife at home, and God says you are to submit to your husband.
Amen.
You might be the CEO of Coca-Cola. You might be the president of Bank of America Monday through Friday, but let me tell you, you are first a Christian. Secondly, you are a wife.
Amen.
No matter what your role is outside the home, in the home, you are a wife and you are bound to submit to your husband.
Amen.
He is speaking to wives. What is He saying to them? Wives, submit yourselves.
Amen.
And I realize and I know that this kind of preaching may not be popular in every pulpit. Amen?
Amen.
There are many people who say, now wait a minute, I don't know who you think you are telling me I have to submit to some man. Well, I'm not telling you anything. God says that if you are a wife and you are a Christian, then you are to submit to your husband.
Amen.
This is not me. This is God speaking. I'm just a mailman delivering the mail. You can get mad at the one that sent it. Why is it that this word submit seems to stir anger, animosity, and bitterness among some women? Verse 21 says that we are to submit ourselves one to another.
Amen.
All of us in some degree are to submit ourselves one to another. But really verse 22 all the way through chapter 6 verse 9 shows what that submission looks like in different roles that God has given us. This idea of submission has been mistreated and misapplied by men down through the ages. But because some abuse it does not mean that we should ignore it. Women's liberation, and I'm all for equal rights. That's not what this is about. I'm talking about these women that think they know better than God how the home should look and what a woman should be like. It has done great harm to the cause of Christ and the kingdom of our Lord. Your flesh, ladies, your flesh does not like that word, submit.
Amen.
That's why you got to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's why He begins with be filled with the Spirit. Because if you are operating in the flesh, your flesh is me and mine and what pleases me rather than what pleases Him. You as a Christian wife have been called upon to submit. That word is a military term and it means to place under authority. An illustration would be you have in the military, you have the general and then you have those soldiers underneath him. They are not of any less value than he is. He is simply in a different role of authority than they are. And that's what this means, to arrange under, to bow, to yield your will. Wives, you are to give up your rights, your privileges for the benefit of another.
Amen.
That's what the word submit means. Try to do that in the flesh, you're not going to get far. I promise. That's why I preached last Sunday on be filled with the Spirit. And then we're going to go, and let me just stop right here. Men, don't get too comfortable. There are three verses here that address wives, and there are nine verses that address the men. You see who needs more instruction, don't you? Wives get three, husbands get nine. So next week, good Lord willing, we're going to get after us men. The husband, while you have been called upon to submit to him, he is not your superior.
Amen.
It is not his right to lay up on the couch barking orders at everybody in the house. We'll get after that next week. Let me say this. This teaching of submission does not say, does not suggest, does not imply that a woman is in any way inferior to a man.
Amen.
There are some who have twisted this, manipulated this, and tried to make it mean this, but that's not what it is teaching at all. A woman is not less than a man. She is not substandard to a man. She is not even subservient to a man. This is not about worth. It is about position. The wife is of equal value to the husband. This is not about value. This is about roles in the home. God is a God of order. And God has so ordered the home that the man is to be the loving leader and the wife is to bow in humble submission to her husband. In Christ, we are one. Yet in the home, God has set order there. Let me give you that order. Because we need this. Husband, wife, children. Did you hear that order? Let me start at the top. God, husband, wife, children. Not children first. Boy, I'm wanting to preach that so bad, and you don't know how bad I'm wanting to preach this. We're going to get there, God willing. Chapter 6. That is the divine order that God has given. It was the order of creation. It is the order that God gave. And you can't beat God's order.
Amen.
You're not going to improve on God's system. In fact, submission is so essential to God and His Word that we see it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, coexistent, co-eternal, co-equal with the Father. Amen? Yet when He came down to this earth, He said, I don't come down to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me.
Amen.
He said, I don't speak my own words, but I speak the words that the Father gave me to speak. He said, I didn't come to bring glory to myself. I came to bring glory to the Father. Listen, if Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, can be submissive, why can't you? He bowed in humble submission to the will of the Father. God, the Holy Spirit, yields to Jesus, the Son, and to the eternal Father. Why then would we struggle to bow in submission? If the triune God sets that example for us, it shouldn't be that hard for us to follow. Was Christ, answer this, was Christ inferior to the Father because He bowed to Him submissively? No, in no way. Is God the Holy Spirit inferior to the Son and the Father because He willingly bows in submission to the Father and the Son? No, in no way. In no way are you as a woman inferior to a man when you take the God-given role that He has given you by submitting to your husband.
Amen.
We've got two words so far in our text. Wives, submit. Wives, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves. If we go a word at a time, we might be here a while. Amen? But I think that's important. Men, It is not your job to get your wife to submit to you.
Amen.
The text says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands.
Amen.
True submission is not forced, nor is it coerced, but it is humbly yielded to.
Amen.
It's not my job to get my wife to submit. It's not her job to get me to love her the way I should. This is the work of God the Holy Spirit through the life of your partner. It's not your job, husband, to make your wife submit to you.
Amen.
And when you try to do that, all you do is engender strife in the home.
Amen.
True submission must be voluntary. You hear me? Wives, I'm going to say this. Voluntarily submit yourselves under your own husbands.
Amen.
Wives, this is what you are joyfully. Can I put that word in there? You are to joyfully and voluntarily submit to your own husbands.
Amen.
Men, if your wife is not as submissive as you think she should be, maybe you're not loving her like you should be.
Amen.
Maybe her life is out of order, but maybe your life is out of order.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say this, and you listen to how I say these words. I am convinced that a born-again, spiritually-minded wife will not have any trouble bowing in submission to a husband that loves her the way that Christ loved the church.
Amen.
Born again, spiritually minded wife will not have any trouble saying, I will submit to that man who puts me on a pedestal.
Amen.
Who would lay down his life for me. I don't have no problem submitting to him. The problem arises when, a lot of times, when we men fail at our jobs or when the wives refuse to bow to the will of God in this matter. To whom are you to submit? Wives, submit yourselves. I want you to notice these words. Unto your own husbands.
Amen.
This means that you are to submit to him and only to him. Don't worry about that baby. She ain't going nowhere. Look up here. Wives, I know it's not real popular, but it's needed. I'm telling you this is needed today. Wives, you don't need to be running around here submitting to everybody else, but not your husband. You know how out of order that is? And I believe that this is one reason why when it is possible, it is ideal that the wife stay at home. Now, I know that's not always possible, and in the world in which we live, it's almost impossible to make it on one income. Part of the reason for that is we spend too much money on stuff we don't need. Now, that'll preach, but nobody wants to hear it. And there are exceptions because there are widows, there are divorcees, there are things that come up. I know this, but ideally, the wife could stay at home. That way she is never bound to submit to the authority of any man other than her own husband.
Amen.
How out of order is it for a woman to bow to the authority of her superior at work, but not to bow to the authority of her husband at home?
Amen.
You are to submit yourselves to your own husbands. You don't have a right, man, to go around expecting somebody else's wife to submit to you.
Right.
You, wives, you listen to, submit, yield up your own rights and privileges to your own husband.
Amen.
Not somebody else's husband, but to your own husband. And again, there's no qualifying statement here. It doesn't say young husbands, old husbands, doesn't say smart husbands, doesn't say rich husbands. Amen?
Amen.
You are to submit to your own husband. You may be smarter than he is. My wife is smarter than I am. That may not come as a surprise to you all. It took me a while to learn that, but she does. She is smarter than I am. She may be more educated. I'm sorry, he may be more... Let me get straight. The wife may be more educated than the husband, but that doesn't relinquish your right to submit.
Right.
She may be more spiritually mature than the husband, but you are still bound to submit to him.
Amen.
You may be more faithful than the husband, but you are still bound to submit to him. And we'll qualify that in just a minute. And the text doesn't even say you are to submit to him only if he's saved.
Amen.
Wives, that's why it matters who you marry. You need to think about who you're going to marry, whether or not, ladies, young ladies, that's somebody I want to spend the rest of my life submitting to. Is that the kind of man I want to spend the rest of my life giving up myself for? When he doesn't care about me and he cares about himself and he doesn't even love the Lord? You need to think about this.
Amen.
You are to submit your own husband whether he is lost or saved.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn and I want you to read with me out of 1 Peter in chapter number 3. If you feel chafed by the submissive role that God has given you, then you don't understand the power of submission. I submit to you that there is great power in a submissive wife. Look what 1 Peter chapter 3 has to say. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Do you not see the clear language there used again by a different writer? That if any obey not the word, that is, if you have a husband that does not obey the word, listen, they also, the husband, may also without the word. That doesn't mean without the Word of God, but it means without your nagging. I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's what he's talking about. Without your preaching at him, may be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wives. Listen, let's just read here. While they, the husbands, behold your chaste conversation, that means your manner of life coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. And now listen to the example that he gives in verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, a lot is said there in those 6 verses, but let's try to unravel some of it. If you're married to someone who does not obey the Word, God's answer for how you help him is that you exhibit a submissive and meek and quiet spirit.
Amen.
If your husband is not the kind of husband that he should be, you're not to nag, you're not to preach, you're not to badger him. You want to be a help to him, then you are a quiet, loving, meek, submissive woman. And God's way says in his word that God can use that to change your home.
Amen.
You're not going to change him by beating on him. You're not going to change him by nagging at him. You want to be a help to him to be a better man, then you quietly and humbly and voluntarily submit to him.
Amen.
I am a better man today and a better husband today because of a quiet and submissive wife.
Amen.
I hope that scores me some points later on. But I mean that. All the nagging and badgering in the world is not going to accomplish anything.
Amen.
You don't know the power of submission. You know how hard it is to be mean to a quiet and submissive wife? It's hard to be mean to a woman.
Amen.
Now, you want to fight with them, it's easy to be mean. But you exhibit a meek and quiet spirit. Listen, and the example he gives is Sarah. If Abraham is the father of faith, Sarah is the mother of submission.
Amen.
She obeyed. You like that word? That's a Bible word. She obeyed her husband. Even to the point of calling him Lord. Not with a capital L, with a lowercase L. That's not saying you have to call your husband Lord, so just breathe. But it is an illustration of submissive heart. That she would say to him, Lord, which means master. And she didn't do it. Now, this will preach a while. She didn't get her way by trying to manipulate him by the outside. That's what it's talking about in verses 3 and 4. It's not the outside. It's not the adorning of the hair. It's not the putting on of apparel. She didn't spiritually benefit her husband. The godly, spirit-filled wife does not benefit the spiritual needs of her husband by trying to manipulate him by her looks. A man is never so weak as he is when a woman is telling him how strong he is. Now, I know that don't go over well, but I just said the truth. She does not manipulate him, but she submits to him. And that's how she is a help to him. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. If he's not right with God, you know how to help him? Be the kind of wife you should be.
Amen.
We each one need to be reminded of 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, which says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Listen, you're not going to be held accountable for what your husband did or didn't do. When you get to the judgment seat, you're not going to be able to say, yes, Lord, but if my husband would have done this, I would have done that. No, sir, that's not the way it works. You are responsible for you. No matter what Bubba does, you need to do what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
You are going to give an account for your works, not for his. Be subject to your own husband. And there's something to be said for this. Because in this time, in the culture in which this was written, wives were little more than the property of a man. Now, it's not right, but that's the way it was. During this time period, wives didn't have the right to vote. Wives, many, most of them, didn't have jobs outside of the home. They were held back, wrongly held back. And so in this time and culture, a wife was little more than the property of a man. And so the gospel comes and it liberates women. You want to know what these women over here, God help these women out in the Middle East out here who are treated so atrociously by, go down the list, extreme Muslims, extreme Islam, ISIS, wherever you want to go down this list. You know what they need? They need the liberating power of the gospel over there.
Amen.
Because it frees men and women. And what Paul writes here, and he says that you are to submit yourself to your own husband. That is personal language, personal possessive language. In other words, that wife owns her husband. Now, let me give you some Bible language, okay? When you join together in the covenant of marriage, you are no longer twain, but one flesh.
Amen.
The wife belongs to the husband. The husband belongs to the wife. You're not your own anymore. You are one. Your body does not belong to you. It belongs to him. It belongs to her. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 4 and 5, when it says that a woman is not to defraud her husband, in other words, when it says that a woman is not to deny her husband his conjugal rights, nor is the husband to deny his wife those same rights, the reason that he gives is he says your body is not your own.
Amen.
But now you belong to another through the covenant of marriage. That is one way in which a husband and wife are to submit to the needs of the other.
Amen.
Husbands, that woman belongs to you. Wives, like it or not, that man belongs to you. Do you not see how even in this Christianity is countercultural? That would have been countercultural to the day for a wife to say, that's my husband.
Amen.
He's mine. His body's mine. I belong to him, yes, but he also belongs to me.
Amen.
And you do this, the close of verse 22 says, listen, as unto the Lord. Let me sum that up by saying it like this. You bow in humble submission to Him, not primarily for Him, but first and foremost because it pleases God.
Amen.
Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. It's not really. Listen to me. Your desire to submit to Him should not first and foremost be about Him. It should be about the glory of Christ.
Amen.
As unto the Lord. Do you bow in submission to the Lord? Then you should bow in submission to your husband. Why? Verse 23. And I'll hit the gas pedal, okay? Verse 23. Here's why. Who is to submit? How are you to submit? And why you should submit is verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. There's another one of those words that gets mistreated and at the same time gets hated. The husband is the head of the wife.
Amen.
God has ordained headship. Headship in the church. Headship in the government. Headship in the home. Read 1 Corinthians 11 and it will clearly say that the head of every man is Christ.
Amen.
The head of every woman is the man.
Amen.
And the head of Christ is God.
Amen.
Does that make Christ inferior because the text says that His head is God the Father? No. Nor does it make a woman inferior that God's Word says that the head of the wife is the husband.
Amen.
This is symbolic language. It is pictorial language that shows that authority or leadership, that's all that it is. The husband is to provide loving leadership and the wife is to humbly submit to that leadership.
Amen.
I say it like this, the husband is the head of the home and the wife is the heart of the home. That's what I believe should be. Somebody has to lead.
Amen.
And it should be the husband.
Amen.
And he should not have to compete with his wife for the role of leadership in the home.
Amen.
In the workplace, you might be the head honcho. But at home, your husband is your head. On the job site, you might be the head of a department. But at home, the husband is the head.
Amen.
There cannot be two leaders in the home. Now listen. There's a distinction between what I'm going to call traditional marriage and biblical marriage, okay? Traditional marriage is the man goes out, he makes the money, the wife stays at home, she takes care of the cooking, the cleaning, the kids, the husband comes home, does nothing. You know, that's traditional marriage. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you understand what I'm saying. That's not bad, it's not wrong, but your home doesn't have to look just like that to be biblical. You may make more money than your husband. Your husband may be loving enough to wash dishes every once in a while. He may even fold clothes. He might even make the bed. It doesn't have to be traditional in that sense in order for it to be biblical. But if it's going to be biblical, then the husband will be the head of that home. Anything that has two heads is a monster. Now, do you want your home to be monstrous or do you want it to be godly? I'm going to say this in a very practical sense. Wives, sometimes you just got to let your husband be wrong. You want to know what will help him, teach him, and will learn him? Let him be wrong. When that husband says, we got to buy a new car, I'm the head of this home, I'm making the decisions around here, and we got to buy, we're going to buy a new car, and the wife says, honey, we can't afford a new car. And you try to say, but he won't listen, let him be wrong. And in a few months, when they come repossess the car, you can say, I told you so. Or better yet, you could not say anything. And be quiet, submissive, and patient even then. And he'll have to do like I've had to do a lot of times and say, honey, I should have listened to you. I should have listened to you. I'm a slow learner, but even I catch on eventually. The husband, verse 23, is the head of the wife, even as. Those words, even or as, are going to show up again and again and again through this text. Even as Christ is the head of the church. Is Jesus the head of the church?
Amen.
Are we, as this church, are we not bound to submit to the headship of Christ?
Amen.
So, in like manner, the wife is to bow to the headship of the husband.
Amen.
And let me tell you what this is about. Here's the summation of it, and I'm headed toward the landing strip, okay? The summation of it is that our homes are to be a portrait of the power of the gospel. When people from your workplace and people from your neighborhood want to know about the gospel, they shouldn't have to come down to Memorial Heights Baptist Church. While it'd be good if they did, all they should have to do is look at your home to see the power of the gospel. They should see a husband who is loving his wife like Christ loved the church, and they should see a wife that is bowing submissively to the headship of her husband.
Amen.
And in so doing, it shows the beauty that exists between Christ and His bride. That's what this is about. Our homes are to be Christ-centered, Christ-exalting homes. Your home is to be a gospel-saturated home, where when people look at the husband and look at the wife and look at the children, they don't see people who are quarreling and fighting and butting heads. They see the sweet communion of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what our homes are supposed to be. And it is done by the wife bowing, by the husband lovingly leading the home. That's what he says. Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Listen, husband, you're not the Savior of your wife. Christ is the Savior of your wife. Wife, you're not the Savior of your husband. Christ is the Savior of your husband. You can't save him. You are to submit to him. Wife, you can't save her, but you are to serve her. This shows us the beauty of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When we lovingly yield and bow to God's order, it portrays the beauty of the gospel.
Amen.
Marriage is intended to point us to Christ. When I said early on, everything that exists, exists to glorify God, that includes your marriage. Your marriage is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The submissive wife is a picture of the submission of the church. The devoted husband is a picture of the sacrificial love of Christ. Marriage is intended to point us to our Redeemer. Now let me say this, and I'm almost done. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject, same word is used in verse 22, submit, subject, same word, same Greek word is used. Therefore, as the church is subject under authority, under Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands, there it is again, in everything. So when do you submit? All the time and in everything.
Amen.
Now let me qualify this. Now I want to make a couple statements. Don't fade out on me. You are not to submit to your husband if he is leading you into sin.
Amen.
We ought to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
If your husband is trying to lead you into sin, you are not to submit to him.
Amen.
Secondly, it is not God's will that you remain in a marriage that you are in danger. I'm going to get in the flesh in just a minute, okay? You are not a man if you got to put your hands on a woman in a violent way to get her to do what you
Amen,
want.
Brother.
I got no use for a man that abuses a woman.
Amen.
None. Not. You want to show you a man? Come pick on me. You might whip me, but bless God, you'll know I was there. You are not a man if you have to violently put your hands on a woman. It is not God's will that you submit to a husband that is abusive to you.
Amen.
Not physically, not verbally. Now, no two people are going to live together perfectly. I'm sorry, we all fall. No husband, no wife are going to live together perfectly. Sometimes you're going to have a bad day, he's going to have a bad day. Y'all going to fight. That's not an excuse to run out of the marriage. But you must not, and I would urge, I just spent this past week counseling with somebody, you must not bow to a man. Stay with a man who puts his hands on you.
Amen, brother.
Get away. Come to me and I'll help you get away. God has called us to peace. Our home, that's not what the home is intended to be. Our homes are intended to portray the gospel. And when the wife takes her role, the husband takes his role, listen, the children take their role,
Amen.
Then the beauty of Christ's love for His bride is seen.
Amen.
And that should be the desire of our homes. Now, will you lovingly submit to your husband? If that means he says, get up and come to church. You know what that means? You get up and come to church. If he says do this, you bow to him in everything. That's what the text says, in everything. Outside of those exceptions, you bow to him in everything. And if he don't say get up and go to church, you know what you ought to do? Get up and come to church. You ought to go and serve God no matter what he does. Listen, our nation right now, you want to know one of the greatest needs that we have in our nation? I'm going to get after the men next week. Come back. But you want to know one of the greatest needs that exist in our nation right now are godly, submissive wives.
Amen, brother.
Who will love their husbands and their children the way God said that they ought to love them. That's the hope for our nation. Bless God, it ain't those two running for president.
Amen.
It is the power of the gospel. That's the hope for our nation. I love you. And thank God for good, submissive wives. Thank
Amen.
God for a woman of a meek and quiet spirit. Let's dismiss with a word of prayer, and we'll be done for today.